Welcome to another episode of Sludge Underground. It is myself, Marcel, and I've got Martin and Sito from Wunderboom with me. You guys, introduce yourselves and what it is you do in the band.
Well, I'm Sito. I am the vocalist and co-songwriter and rhythm guitarist, as well as other little toys of the band. Over to you.
I'm Martin. I'm the guitarist, co-writer. I watch Sito play with lots of other little toys.
And you play lead guitar.
Nice. And you guys, it's yourself, so it's Tito, Martin, and then Wade, who's been in the band since its inception.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And the band before. It's been Wade, Tito, and myself since 8 Legged Groove Machine, which was pre-Wunderboom.
Yeah, and that was in 96?
Pre-96.
Yeah,
93, 94.
Yeah.
That is incredible. So it was the first album that came out in 96.
We became Wunderboom in 96. But it was a lot of songs that had spilled over from 8-Legged Groove Machine because we'd never actually released anything as 8-Legged Groove Machine. So
did the sound of the band change as like the name changed? Did that sort of change the direction of the band? Or did you guys sort of maintain the same sort of core musical values there?
I think we got fucked up by the industry. When we were young, to be honest, we were on a great trajectory.
Yeah, straight for the jugular, Mart.
As eight-legged groove machine, and then we kind of went on a bit of a pleasing thing, if I'm honest. For not totally pleasing, but a bit of a okay, we're part of a record company now, and we've had some kind of success, and there was almost like a bit of a game playing thing that we had to do. Which musically wasn't great for us, I don't feel. But we found our feet pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, I would say like the sort of the unusual psychedelic, funky, indie music that we had been writing as 8-Legged Groove Machine and that whole kind of trajectory. It kind of spilled, like when we joined forces with Electric Pedals to become Wunderboom, half of our repertoire was 8-Legged Groove Machine repertoire. The other half was Electric Pedals repertoire, which was very, very different to ours. It was quite sort of rock, I suppose, conventional rock without sounding demeaning or anything like that. And then when we got signed up, a lot of our early demos of new songs were rejected. So what Martin's talking about is that we had it was almost like we did change. We did change a bit to adapt to, make our songs more accessible according to the record company, kind of stunted our creative flow a bit. But then we found it again, after a while,
We also were growing up, We also were touring. We went from teenagers kind of into young men. And we had our own ideas then and that as well. So we were more verbal about it and like starting to push our own ideas again instead of trying to be molded by the industry. Then we kind of found our own feet again.
Did you guys sort of break away from that record company that tried to like force you guys into a certain direction when you became Wunderboom?
They kind of evolved almost with us and let us.
Yeah.
They almost let us to a point to eventually do what we wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good though.
Reluctantly. Yeah, it is good. It was just finding our feet. Look, it was a very long answer for what could have been done in a sentence, but like
yeah.
It wasn't just a record company thing. So what I was going to say just now is that before we became Wunderboom, the Electric Pedals guys approached us from 8-Legged Groove Machine to form a super group because they had the opening slot from Simple Minds and they wanted to blow everybody away and they wanted to it was going to be a temporary thing. And we're like, okay, cool. That would mean we would lose our drummer. And they would lose their bassist and their vocalist, and we would just form this kind of collab group. And then as things progressed, then they were like, let's just make this a permanent thing, we'll call ourselves the Electric Pedal Groove Machine. And so that's what we did. We were a 5-piece band and we had this mixed repertoire thing. And I think that whole journey started, it was like, it was great because our first 3 or 4 gigs, we were like touring the country with Simple Minds playing to, I think our third gig, we were playing to like 16,000 people at Kings Park Stadium. Our second gig was like live on TV. So it was like we started quite high. And thereafter, shortly thereafter, we had dropped in popularity and everything else in success because there's no shortcut to putting together a great band. And so we had to start learning about each other and growing in the process. And it was quite a journey to eventually become, it was about, I suppose, 5 months be before we, 6 months before we became Vornaboom. And thereafter, we were still learning a lot about each other and our musical styles, and the chemistry had to sort of be formed organically, you know? So yeah, to put a long story short, it took a couple of years before we started to find our creative flow as Vornaboom from the eight-legged group machine days.
It's kind of impressive that you guys actually kept going because, I've heard so many stories about bands having, like a massive success off the rip, and then it doesn't consistently stay that way because obviously, like you said, there's no shortcut. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and a lot of those things sort of fall apart because they're chasing that initial success. And I'm super stoked that you guys have just stuck with it, and it's obviously worked out for you guys.
Yeah, thank you. I think a big motivator for us was we were always sort of an enjoyable live band. We loved jamming together. I think we appreciated and respected what we each brought to the party as far as performers. And it was, yeah, it was like, it was for us, it was just worth, and as Martin said, we were very young, so we weren't going to give up so quickly, you know? And then, yeah, I mean, having said that, here we are 28 years down the line, and we haven't always been flavor of the month. In fact, more times than not, but that has never really put us off wanting to be together and jam together and write songs, and just, create magic together.
We've been part of the industry, and we've been darling sometimes and sometimes not. We've just kind of ran our own race in our own lane, and we've never really followed fashions or anything. We've kind of stuck to what we do, and whatever that is, we've kind of stuck to it. And as I said, sometimes to our detriment, we've sometimes definitely not been flavor of the month. But as a band, I think we're still around because we love music and we love playing together, and we respect that element of it, that live thing is a sacred kind of cow for us, or a sacred ground, a stomping ground, or playground that we all respect quite heavily. And then the studio and writing's another thing. I mean, that's a whole different ball game. But the basic love of being together and playing together is what kept us going. And that initial success for us, there was some initial success, but it wasn't like we were everywhere all the time for 2 years and then gone. I think we've always felt like we're still getting there.
It's just been a wild up and down roller coaster since the 90s.
Yeah. And then you guys, over the years, you said it was 28 years of Wonderboom existing, have released 9 albums. And how, like, just how do you keep the creative juices flowing? How do you just produce that much material that absolutely blows my mind?
If I'll just say quickly there, we're blessed with that, in that we can work together very very well and see eye to eye on creative things. I think any creative will tell you that it gets harder the more material you've released, because what do you say after 28 years? What do you write about? Lyrically, fair enough. What do you say? Musically, what have you got to say for yourself now? So it becomes a little bit more deeper mining. But because you're more mature and you've had the experience of all of this music and all of this past, you can tap into so much more than when you were younger, just purely because of life experience, which is great for the music. Recording and writing, definitely recording has become much easier over the years compared to our first few albums, and the studios and availability of things and gear and technology, blah 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 blah, much easier. But yeah, I think it's a thing of trying to stay relevant. It's easy to come out with one album and be successful, and maybe your second album, But that's why they always say it's a band's third album that makes or breaks, because you're either going to be in it for the long haul, usually after that traditionally, or not, you know. So yeah, we've been very lucky, but it's definitely it's work still, as fun as it is to try and keep that machine going.
Absolutely. And I see, like, where you say it was your third, your third album that makes or breaks you. And I see that one was nominated for a SAMO. And there's actually a couple of times that you guys have been nominated. I think it's like five, according to this.
Okay, see that. Go for it. Tell the story.
Oh, there's a story.
What do you mean about what? About
Just farmers in
about finally
general.
receiving, yeah, about
Yes.
about finally receiving the non-achievement award. Lifetime non-achievement award. Oh no, it's just a self-deprecating joke that we have amongst ourselves about, being nominated and not winning. But when I think back, like, those were such beautiful, pure times and quite intense times. And it was also the days of the resurgence of original rock in South Africa, where a lot of great bands were, were happening, and festivals like Opikopi and Woodstock were big sort of platforms for great bands like Springbok Newgirls and Sugar Drive, and so many great bands, original bands, came out during that time. But yeah, recording and getting songs on radio and being loved, a lot has changed, and I think nowadays we're very appreciative of any kind of because everything, it's quite saturated out there, we're quite grateful for any kind of being added to playlists or to get on radio, and to get a nomination is just it's just great when it happens.
I get you. Like, the way that the way you have to market yourself has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. I mean, even in the last 5 to 10 years, it has been such a major shift in how things actually work.
Yeah, totally. The focus of, from album to single now, and the sort of hard copy to digital, and do you actually release anything tangible? It's quite a mind fuck. And but we've when we started off, the rave culture just kicked in South Africa, so like rock was like definitely not in fashion at the time. And we've seen trends come and go. We've seen rock, come to the fore and become popular again, and then lose its coolness a few times in our career. Again, it's just something that you something that you have to accept. Being a musician anywhere around the world is that you got to adapt. It's not about changing your style or changing your identity, but how you get your music to the people, and just embracing everything instead of fighting against it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of singles, I see you guys released one about 3 months ago with Misdemeanor.
Yeah, Misdemeanor was
Yes.
this December. Yeah, accompanied by a great video shot by a friend of ours, Ryan Detoy. Then we're kind of doing this like drop a single every couple of weeks thing, just since all the new albums out, which is 22nd of March. So today, Deadly dropped.
Yeah. This is going to be pre-recorded, so yeah.
Yeah,
And then, yeah, 2 weeks
March.
ago we released My Name Is Freedom. So
Yeah.
we've been releasing singles, and we've actually released other singles over the past couple of years that are going to be included in the album.
Okay.
But we're finally, the culmination of previously released singles and a whole lot of new singles, a whole lot of new songs, being all mashed into Hard Mode, which will be our 10th album now.
Okay, and then that album is coming out this month, or in the month of March. I'm actually not 100% sure when this episode is going up, so there's a good chance it'll be out before it goes up.
Yeah, so 22nd of March, Hard Mode is out.
No, that's absolutely sick. I'm so stoked. I want to go check out the other two singles as well when we're done here. Yeah, I really, Misdemeanor was sick. My fiance was jamming along to it as well while I was listening.
Yeah, it's got a Misdemeanor had a very kind of angled, from a song point of view for us, quite an angled kind of alternative dance floor feel with this kind of big epic chorus that happened. But yeah, it was quite a dancey track for us in a rocky kind of dance way, you know.
And the music, like you said, that music video is really, really cool and very well done as well.
Yeah, thank you. You got to check out the Deadly video as well, which will will be out very shortly as well for the new single. Had great fun recording that.
No, I'm so stoked. I
Kind of
cannot
something
wait.
we've never done before with like a sports theme kind of video, you know, which was very interesting, you know.
And then, circling back to, what you were saying about having the nine albums and what more can you say and whatnot, what are the themes and, the ideas that you're approaching with this album? Is there an overall theme to it in general? Is there something that you're like a bigger picture between the songs? Do they relate to each other? What's happening there?
Sio, do you want to go crack at that first?
Yeah, so in true Vonnegut style, no song is the same as the other on this record. I think there's no overall theme. It's like each song has got its own theme, and it's the way we've basically pretty much approached our songwriting and creation is like the way we are as people, quite eclectic and diverse in mood, in style, in influences. It's just like another sort of chapter in Vonnegut's life. Some of it is, quite fantasy driven. Other songs are, there's a big fuck you to the system. There's like a bit of vulnerability, a bit of fun. Yeah, I think just the way we are as people, it's important for us to keep that sort of freshness. And again, self-deprecating, we say that we're schizophrenic in our styles.
Yeah, I don't think there's an overriding theme to the album or concept as such. It is perhaps a little darker than our other albums, musically and lyrically. We've explored some things like in Rabbit Hole, which was a previous release single, which is on the album. Rabbit Hole and Prodigal Son are kind of products of the whole lockdown thing and that kind of bit of a dark period in our existence.
Yeah, quite introspective.
Introspective, yeah, a little bit. People always say with Prodigal Son, for example, they always say it sounds nostalgic. So that's like something that often comes up with a song like Prodigal Son.
Well, that's, and then in closing, where can people find you? Where can people find your music and get in touch with you and interact with you guys?
Music, all the digital platforms, Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Tidal, all of them.
Yeah, so any info that you want to check out on new releases or videos, or you want to get hold of us about gigs, please, if you're on Facebook, please give us a like and a follow and all of that. We're on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We have not yet embraced TikTok, but I think we are going to have to at some stage. Still getting my head around that, but yeah, we're out there. You just got to look.
Boys, thank you so much for
Yeah,
taking the time to have a chat with me on
thank
this
you.
Friday
Thank you,
morning.
Marcel.
It's been right. I really
Very
enjoyed
cool.
this.
Thank you, man. Cool, man. Lekker, Marcel. You must keep well.